Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. Welcome to Word Alive Broadcast. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott, with Bishop Gerald Scott on the line this morning. And this morning we just want to pray for the government.
My Lord.
As usual, we want to continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
My God.
And a lot of people don't realize that Jerusalem is there. It's God's people. It's God's people, and He wants us to pray for them. They're chosen. They've been chosen by God, and He wants us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We all know that there's much going on over there. It's much going on all over the world, and we really need to be in prayer about the things that are going on, the murders, the people that are the terrorists and things like that. Also, we need to pray. We did a broadcast last night, and the broadcast was, it was really an excellent broadcast, and some things were brought out, and one thing in particular that was brought out, I believe, was John chapter 10, verse 27, and Jesus was talking about does he know you is what I want to talk about. Does Jesus know you? We say we know him, but does he know you? You know, and then the scripture you know comes to mind. It says, depart from me. I never knew you. We want to make sure today that Jesus knows us. We want to make sure that we're just not walking around talking the talk, but not living the life of a true born-again Christian, believer, follower of Jesus Christ. We want to make sure that our talk matches what we're living. We don't want to cause another person to struggle or to fall based on what we're doing, saying that we're Christians but not living as Christians. And this, a lot of people may not think that this is important, but it really is important because, excuse me, it's really important because, you know, we don't want what we do to cause somebody else not to follow Jesus. We don't want somebody to say, well, you know, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. That's why I don't want to be a Christian. We don't want that. We want to make sure that what we're doing lines up with the Word of God. We want to make sure what we're doing is that we are living right. And it's a lot of talk. It's a lot of rhetoric going on. But really, for real, we got to make sure that we're in right standing with our Heavenly Father. Because we can talk all day long, but when it comes down to it, if we're not in right standing with Him, when Jesus comes back, we're not going to heaven. We'll be going somewhere, but we're not going to heaven. So we want to make sure that we're not fooling ourselves this morning. We want to do a self-check. We want to do an introspection. You know, it's good to be a preacher. It's good to be an evangelist. It's good to be all of that, the apostle, the bishop, and, you know, all of that. It's good to be that. But still, let's check ourselves today and make sure that our standing with God is right. Whether we've been in it for years and years and years, you know, we could have been saved for 20 years or saying we're saved for these many years or whatever the case is, but we want to make sure today. We want to make sure that when we preach the gospel, our motives are right. When we sing, you know, and make these albums or whatever we're doing, that our motives are right, that it's to help people to come into the kingdom of God. It's to bless people on their journey on the kingdom of God, and not just our motives because we want to be famous, we want to be on TV, we want to, you know, be this and we want to be that. Because then if that is the case, then we already have our reward. And God wants us to be pure before Him. Yes, He gives us gifts, and yes, He gives us talents, and He wants us to use them, but He wants our motives to be right as we're using them. He doesn't want our motives to be to you know, abuse people in any kind of way, emotionally, spiritually, financially. So we want to make sure our motives are right. And the reason that I'm talking about this particular thing right now is because I did see something on my Facebook page this morning, and someone was coming against a person who was writing particular books and making a series out of them, and they were, you know, coming against this person. But if God uses you, that is great for somebody else to be blessed. And this particular series of books, I was blessed by one of them in particular. And if this person is using their gift from God to bless other people, let's lift them up instead of tearing them down. But if we have a gift and we're using it to hurt God's people, then we need to repent. We need to repent. We need to repent. And ask God to forgive us. Not abuse the gift that he has given us. Not abuse the talent that he has given us. Because if we're going to abuse the gift or the talent, we might as well just do like the servant did and go ahead and bury it. If we're using the gift of God right now, when we're getting gain from it, and we're getting it from a way that's not pleasing to God, you already have your reward. You already have your reward. So this morning we want to pray and make sure our motives are right. I'm talking about those of us who claim to be born again, who claim to be Christians, who claim to be believers, who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, to make sure that our motives are right in the Lord. Make sure that our motives are right. Amen. 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 Bishop, I'm going to ask you to pray this morning. And, yes, I'm going to ask you to pray this morning.
Okay. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Oh, gracious Father God, we come on this Saturday morning. We come, Lord, on this October the 5th, 2013, Father. First and foremost, thanking you for waking us up this morning. Sometimes we think about everything else. We forget about the greatest gift of all, which is life provided by you through your son, Yahshua, and his sacrifice on Calvary's cross. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for allowing myself, my wife, I know my grandson is awake because he and I talked this morning. I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that the family has not been broken and that we all are still here, willing and able to do your work, Lord. We ask that you'll bless those within the family that are accused, that are confused, rather. Those, dear Lord, that don't know the power of your son, Yahshua, Jesus, as he died and suffered on Calvary. We ask that you will give enlightenment to them. Oh, Lord, on my side of the family, Lord, you know, there are many agnostics and some even atheists, and I don't have many Muslims and other religions. I just have people that don't believe in God, period, or at least doubt the significance of God in their life. And I ask, dear Lord, that you will touch them, that you will touch those members of my family that have doubts about God, that don't turn to the Lord, that think they can get it all on their own and through their own power and through their own ingenuity and their contacts and all of that. Lord, I ask you to let them know that nothing good ever happens in any of our lives unless you have your hand in it. Lord, that there's no promotions, there are no elevations in life, not even in the secular world, that you did not have your hand in it, Lord, that it was not according to your purpose. Lord, you bless their families, their children are growing, Lord, and it's not by happenstance that happens, Father. And I ask, dear Lord, that as you touch my family, and even those that are Christians but aren't walking the Christian life, aren't doing the Christian things, or living that devil-minded kind of life, Lord, I ask that you will just straighten them out, Lord. Let them know that you can't serve God and Satan. You can't serve the devil in the Lord. You just can't serve good and evil. Either you're going to live right or you're going to live wrong. You can't live wrong and right, because somewhere along the way, even right becomes wrong when you're living wrong. Oh, Lord, I ask that you will be with my wife's family, Lord, that many of them have chosen either not to walk with God at all or are walking in a Muslim, Islamic world, Lord. They believe to a certain extent, yes, they're part of the book, people of the books, Lord, but unless you believe in Jesus, not just his virgin birth, not just his great teachings, not just his walk and his lifestyle, but Lord, you have to believe in your Son and the sacrifice that he made on Calvary, that he did die, that he laid in that grave, and that he rose again on the third day, and that he reigns with God, as God, at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, judging the wicked and the dead, Lord, judging those, and will be judging those who will meet him one day, either at the judgment seat or there at the great white throne. Oh, Lord, we don't minimize who Christ is, because he is all in all to us. There's nothing in our salvation that can be linked to anything or anyone else but Christ. Even he himself, your Son, said to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can come about to you, Father, but through me. And there's no other avenue. There is no new age. There are no stars. There are no planets. There are no palm readers. There are no psychics that can show you any other way. And any prophet that tells you any different as a false prophet. There is only your way, Lord. I don't care who you are, I don't care what you've done in your life, unless you're being pointed to Christ, and unless you give your life over to him, all of it's in vain. What do you say, Lord, to those, dear Father, that think that they can do it by living right? Let them know, Lord, that it's not about right living and doing the good thing and helping folk. It's more than that. You gave your very best so that we may have the very best as we leave this sojourn called earth. So, Lord, we ask that people will get their mind straightened out, get their heart straightened out, submit, convert, repent, feel that remorse for a moment, and let that remorse lead you to repentance. Feel that guilt for a moment, and let that guilt bring you to the saving knowledge of Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we ask that you will be with our governmental leaders. We're getting ready to go into the first full week of this governmental closed shutdown, Lord. Oh, Lord, bring some continuity to them. Let them know that they've been elected by people, that they didn't get these positions on their own, that you inspired people to vote for them and to place them as presidents, as vice presidents, as you decided through us, dear Lord, your people, to elect the senators and the congressmen. And so they're sitting on that hill, as they call it, on that Capitol Hill, wrenching their hands and deciding things for themselves more than for the people. Touch every heart. I don't care whether they're Democrat, I don't care whether they're Republican, I don't care whether they're Tea Party, I don't care whether they're Independent, I don't care whether they're part of the Green Party, it doesn't matter what party they belong to, or if they're not affiliated with any party. Lord, I ask that you will touch their minds, you'll touch their hearts. May they seek you first. All these weeks, I wonder how many times they had a prayer meeting in this week of the shutdown. I wonder how many times they consulted you. Oh, they've consulted each other. They've had closed-door meetings. They've argued. They've fussed. They've fought. They left with no resolution and no compromise. But how many times did they say, let's start this thing off in prayer. Let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Most of them, if not all of them, claim to be Christians. The others claim to have some kind of religious affiliation. So even they turned to somebody in prayer. But I wonder how many of them even offered up the idea to come to you, Lord. Seek the King of Kings in this matter. Seek the Lord of Lords in this matter. Seek the Creator of all living things in this matter. Lord, let them know that they're in their position because of you. Because of you. If you did not will it, it would not have been. If you did not will it, they wouldn't be sitting there in the Capitol building. They wouldn't be sitting there in the White House. They wouldn't be sitting there in the Pentagon. They wouldn't be sitting there in the Justice Department building. They would be somewhere else. And Lord, if it wasn't your will, they wouldn't even be alive. Some of them have come from a mighty long way, broken homes and all of that, and they rose to positions of power and authority. It's only because of you, Lord. So, Lord, we ask that you will be with every one of them. Then be with the church leaders, those that call themselves apostles, those that call themselves bishops, those that call themselves archbishops and chief apostles and pastors and evangelists and prophets and prophetesses. Oh, Lord, those that call themselves teachers and educators, theologians, and all the rest that have input and impact amongst the body of Christ. Let them sure enough put you in the lead. May they come to you humbly, no matter whether they have a jet or whether they have rings on every finger, whether they ride a Mercedes-Benz or a Volkswagen. May they turn to you, because you are the faith. You, it's your house. It's your ministry. Let them take their names off these ministries. It's not their ministry. Creflo Dollar and all the rest. Let them take their names off the ministry. Yes, I'm saying names, Lord, because you want things brought into the light. If prayer can't bring things into the light, then there's no need to pray. Let them take their names off their ministries. Joyce Myers and the rest. Let them take their names off their ministries. It's not their ministry, it's your ministry. And I don't care how many people, thousands upon thousands, listen and read and accept what they say is true. It's still your ministry. You've anointed them, Lord. If those words aren't anointed by you, then I don't listen to them. Because there's only one book that I know is inspired by you, Lord, and that's the Holy Bible. I just pray that the words that are penned by others are also being inspired by you, Lord. And if they're not, then, Lord, may we turn our backs to them and return to the Word of God, which always stands true, that's never compromised. After the thousands and thousands of years of its being written, it's still this is true today, as it was back there in antiquity, back there in Jerusalem, back there in Capernaum. Just as true today in Philadelphia, in Oklahoma, in Virginia Beach, in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, just as true today. So, Lord, bless this prayer meeting time that we have together. Bless everyone that is under the sound of my voice. Bless my wife in a special way. Thank you for anointing her. Thank you for leading her. And thank you for giving her the mind to have this half hour during the week and the weekend to praise and to lift your name up and to seek your counsel. Not in a whole lot of petitions, self-aggrandizing petitions about, Lord, I need your help in this and I need your help in that in terms of temporal, secular, temporary things. But we need you, Lord, about other things. We need you, Lord, about the most important things, like how to love one another, how to treat one another, how to live holy, how to live righteous, how to live, Lord, in faith and not in doubt, how to live in assurance and not in fear, how to live confidently and not in trepidation. Oh, Lord, this is our plea. This is our call, Lord, that we may live worthy of your calling upon our lives. If you called us to ministry, may we be the best ministers representing you, not representing our denomination, not representing our church, not even representing our pastors and the leaders of our church, but to represent you. I love what David said when he was caught in sin. He said, I sinned against you. First and foremost, yes, I did Bathsheba wrong. Yes, I did Uriah wrong. But first and foremost, I sinned against you because you commanded me not to commit adultery. You commanded me not to kill. And when I committed adultery and when I killed, I sinned against you. Lord, may we not say those words. But if we have to say those words, which we oftentimes do too many times, and I would like to admit, we have to say, I have sinned, Lord, against you, because you are the one who commanded me not to do this or not to say that or not to act this way or that way or not to speak to someone this way or that way. You commanded me to love, and I didn't love. You commanded me to forgive, and I refused to forgive. You commanded me not to commit adultery, and I committed adultery. You commanded me not to fornicate, and you said to flee fornication, and I rushed toward it. I did that against you, Lord. And pardon me, Lord, for anything I've done from a personal perspective, whatever I've done. From a personal perspective, that was against you, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for not acting right, for not doing right, for not loving right, for not caring right, for not helping right, caring right. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I repent, Lord, of anything I've ever done, even today or tomorrow. I repent, Lord, of the things I have done, even yesterday. And I mean everything, Lord. I don't mean the big thing. Oh, I didn't do this and I didn't do that, but what did I do? Lord, forgive me, Lord, if I was short patient with somebody. Or I felt slighted towards somebody and I acted like I was slighted. Felt slighted. Forgive me, Lord. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be anything outside of what you want me to be, Lord. I don't want to think anything outside of what you want me to think. You are my Lord. I need to think and act and do the way you would want me to do, Lord. And I'm so blessed that I have an example of how to live in you and your Son. I have an example of how to live through the Holy Bible. If I wonder how I should react, Lord, all I have to do is read the Word, and all I have to do is really read the red letters, which is your Son, Yahshua's words. And it'll tell me everything I need to do and how I need to act and how I need to respond to anything that confronts me that I feel slighted about or I feel offended about or I feel angry about or I don't like or whatever the case may be. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. I know I'm not worthy, Lord. I know I'm not worthy, but I beseech you to forgive me, Lord. I don't stand on pastor. I don't stand on bishop. I don't stand on elder. I don't stand on reverend. I don't stand on any of that. They don't have no weight, no authority in your kingdom. You are the Lord. You are the high priest. There's none like you, Lord. You're without spot or blemish. I can't say any of those things. So I come humbly before the one who can. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the perfect one, the unblemished one, the undefiled one, the sinless one, and ask you, Lord, to forgive this one who's fallen short. Missed the mark. And I speak on behalf of the world wide over, seeking your forgiveness, Lord. For truth be told, all of us stand in the need of your forgiveness, in the need of your mercy, in the need of your grace, your compassion, your loving kindness. Be patient with us, Lord. Many of us are striving to be what you would have us to be. Be patient, Lord. Be patient. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, I pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Bishop. Thank you for that prayer this morning. And we ask today that those that, excuse me, have tuned in, if you would read Psalm 91, if you would read John chapter 10, John chapter 15, 1 John chapter 2, and not just read it, but meditate on it and allow God to minister to you throughout this day. We pray that you go in peace. God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.